Welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths, to marriage and parenting, to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
It has always been the purpose of the Fireside Bookshelf to assist our listeners in wading through the sheer volume of reading materials available to Christians today. And it arose out of concern for the alarming number of non-Christian resources that were being marketed side by side with Christian-based resources. It has become increasingly difficult for many to differentiate between books classified as Christian, spiritual, self-help, and to determine which of those are actually biblical. It has also been the habit here at the Fireside Bookshelf to inform our listeners at the end of each week's broadcast that even though a book may be featured on our program, it doesn't mean that all teachings and all writings by an author are recommended. We remind you to always read with discernment. But it has come to my attention that there is a wide range of individuals who really don't have a complete understanding of what it means when we speak of spiritual discernment. And so the time has come to address this issue. Jay Adams, in his book, A Call for Discernment, Distinguishing the Truth from Error in Today's Church, shares that today's church is confused. False teaching and heresy abound. Many Christians fall prey because they simply do not know how to distinguish truth from error. Slogans are bandied about, all truth is God's truth. No one in his right mind would deny that. But it is also a fact that all error is the devil's error. So now where are we? Back to square one. We must still distinguish God's truth from the devil's error. Sloganizing won't do that for us. What is wrong? Why is the church so susceptible to falsehood? How can we distinguish what teachings are truly biblical and we should follow, and what teachings we should reject? The answers to these questions and many more can be found in Jay Adams' book, A Call for Discernment. Adams will explain how you can become part of the solution rather than part of the problem. The church will not change en masse, but only as individual Christians like you and I change. And what the church, you, me, and our brothers and sisters in Christ, needs to solve the problem is spiritual discernment. So come be a part as Jay Adams brings much-needed light to the subject of spiritual discernment. He will show us how serious the problem of lack of discernment is today and demonstrate some of the effects of this lack. He will explain exactly what spiritual discernment is and will propose how each of us can become a more discerning Christian. In order to do this, he has set forth a program to assist you in becoming a more discerning Christian, and it's flexible. Perhaps you will find it helpful, at least at the beginning, to follow the program together with other Christians or to use it in a Sunday school class or Bible study group. But to receive the greatest gift, do the work yourself, instead of leaning on others to provide answers for you. Much profitable, individual time in the Scriptures is necessary to become the discerning Christian that God wants you to be. You will not always have others to turn to when you must make decisions and discover God's answers. The program is designed to enable you to become a strong Christian capable of discerning the will of the Lord. Adams shares a story in the opening of the book about a mother who once showed him some children's books she had purchased and how excited she was to begin reading them to her children. What the mother didn't realize is that the books contained teachings that were distinctive to a particular religion but did not contain a true biblical foundation. It was due to the number of similar situations that I myself experienced that the vision for the Fireside Bookshelf was born. Since I have always been an avid reader, co-workers, friends, and family would often ask me about books they were currently reading or were looking to purchase. More and more, a reoccurring theme seemed to be forming. believing they had obtained their selected resources from reliable sources, they would find out later that these works contained a mixture of the world's philosophies peppered with biblical truth, or contained outright heresy, all the while being billed as Christian books. Adams came to realize in the years following his encounter with the mother and the children's books that the problem he was confronting was a lack of discernment. Perhaps more church fights, splits, and conflicts originate in someone's lack of discernment than from any other source. In every area of life, members of the church are continually bombarded with ideas, beliefs, and opinions, most of which are unbiblical or at least biblically suspect. But unfortunately, they don't know how to sort things out. Often the church itself contributes to the problem by sending conflicting and erroneous messages. Truly, confusion reigns. Certainly, the religious community has been rocked by a myriad of scandals over the last few decades. The tragic response of many people, Adams notes, when faced with these types of scandals, is to become cynical and embittered. But this is wrong. God doesn't want us to throw away the good with the bad, the genuine with the false. He wants us to learn to distinguish between the two. There has been too much unscrutinized authority, too much following the crowd, too much willingness to be deceived. It's simply easier that way. But God rarely bids us to take the easy way. He wants us to work at our faith. He wants us not merely to pray, but to watch and pray. In Matthew 26:41, the word watch means to be alert. And we must be alert not only to the large media-intensive events, because the problem is all around us, in the home and in the local church. Take, for example, the church lending library. Frequently, it is the repository for the most extraordinary accumulation of discarded artifacts donated over the years by members after cleaning out their attics. Adams shares one pastor's story. I served an evangelical church as one of the 7 pastors for several years. The church is located in the Midwest and has a membership in excess of 4,000. The church has a lending library with about 25,000 volumes. It became increasingly obvious that a wide variety of books by liberals, conservatives, and even unbelievers was in that library. Discernment was left to the church member with no selective help from the church. Looking through the card catalog index showed us what people were borrowing. What a surprise it was! We surmised that the apparent theological immaturity of the congregation was in some way directly related to the resources they had available and were encouraged to use. Adams also recalls an occasion when he was driving through Texas and heard a preacher invite listeners to stay tuned to this program because at the end of the message, the preachers would tell listeners how to obtain an autographed picture of Jesus Christ. Adams couldn't believe his ears. He was certain he had misunderstood, so he stayed tuned. And sure enough, at the end, the pastor repeated this offer, telling listeners where to send for the autographed picture and encouraging them to include a gift for the ministry. Jesus warned us about false prophets who would come to you in sheep's clothing, but within are greedy wolves, Matthew 7:15. Christians with little discernment have failed to heed his warning. Frequently, Adams would hold conferences for people who wanted to advance biblical counseling. But so often when he looked at the book table they had set up for the conference, he would find materials for sale that taught all kinds of things contrary to the design of the conference. Adams could only wonder at the lack of discernment or concern about it evidenced by the sponsors of the conference. Do they really know the difference between truth and error in biblical counseling? Do they even care? No wonder there is so much confusion surrounding the Christian community today. In fact, too often it seems that good causes are willing to accept wrong approaches. We are willing to blend worldly philosophies and methods because they seem to work on a certain level or feel good to us on an emotional level. And Adams provides numerous examples of how these seemingly small compromises lend to an overall lack of spiritual discernment. Because as he reminds us, a discerning Christian is one who is careful that statements they make at one point do not contradict what they say at another. Christians must be careful not to accept, integrate, and repeat good-feeling worldly beliefs, like people are basically good, for example, when such statements stand in direct contradiction to God's written word. We must think systematically about our faith. For some, these types of distinctions seem unworthy of discussion. They ask, why not concern oneself with the big issues? Adams assures us he is concerned with the big issue, the careless, undiscriminating mentality that lies behind the kinds of problems he outlines for us in detail. Actually, they are only symptoms of the larger problem, which grows in turn out of the mentality that says, it's fanatical to constantly be at this matter of distinguishing and differentiating. You can't go through life that way. But as we examine the reasons for this widespread lack of discernment, we shall see that the biblical concept of antithesis is rarely taught anymore in our churches. Yet this concept is plainly evident in the Bible. For example, the clean-unclean requirements of the Old Testament distinguished such things like foods the Israelites could or could not eat, and what kind of clothing they could or could not wear. God's people were expected to be concerned every day about all they did, even in the little things. They were to go through life distinguishing God's way from what is not God's way. Today, such biblical thinking has been replaced by a mentality that permits no sharp contrast. All is gray. There is no black or white, good or bad, right or wrong. Those who try to think and live according to biblical ideals are often accused of majoring on petty concerns. However, the sheer quantity and variety of religious output today, to say nothing of non-Christian offerings from untold sources, fairly screams for Christians to develop sharper powers of discernment, Adams declares. So much chat must be removed in order to get to the wheat. Proverbs 10:19 warns us that where there are many words, sin is inevitable. Yet little is said about the lack of discernment in church. What is worse, there seems to be even less concern than in days gone by when the problem was less acute. Sometimes Christians look back on those days and congratulate themselves about how much broader and tolerant the evangelical church has become today. While there are certainly some things that needed improvement, we have gone far beyond improvement in our laissez-faire approach to Christianity and the truth of God's Word. Adams is not issuing a call to return to past errors, but it is a summons to Christians everywhere to become more discriminating about their beliefs. For example, thousands of Christians cannot discern between what is biblical counseling and what is not. They do not know how to distinguish between Christian counseling, counseling that is truly Christian in content and method, and a Christian doing counseling that may or may not be Christian in content and method. Consequently, they are being drawn into psychological errors by the busful. This quote from Christian apologist Dave Hunt sums things up. Christian psychology represents the deadliest and at the same time the most appealing and popular form of modernism ever to confront the church. Those who refuse the temptation to adjust biblical interpretation to agree with Darwin have succumbed to even a more deadly delusion of integrating Freud and Jung into Christianity. It is astonishing that so many of today's evangelical leaders, in order to be relevant, are preaching a form of science of the mind without even recognizing it. Pastors and other leaders are being blurred away from the truth of Scripture without even recognizing it? How can that be? According to Adams, it is the result of a failure to cultivate in leaders and in those who follow them that spiritual discernment which every Christian needs in order to think and act in ways that please God. If leaders don't even recognize what is happening to them, what can we expect from their people? Why is there so little discernment, such inability to distinguish things that differ? How did this sad state of affairs come about, and what has caused this lack? Adams notes that many varying but related elements have converged to bring about the church's current widespread lack of spiritual discernment. He discusses several of the proximate causes, including disappearing church discipline, continuum versus antithesis, the de-emphasis of systematic theology, the liberation of the laity, and then rounds out things by looking at what Adams believes is the one fundamental factor from which they all flow. Perhaps the most obvious difficulty, once you become aware of it, is the collapse of church discipline. Adams contends that the lack of discernment and the lack of church discipline walk side by side. Discipline, by its very nature, requires discernment, and the disciplining body must show concern for the honor of God's name, the welfare of the congregation, and the reclamation of the offender. It must be neither soft nor harsh. Such balance calls for spiritual discernment of the highest sort. So-called petty issues are seen in their proper light as rebellion against Christ's authority. Gossip, slander, and false accusations must be rejected and dealt with. Evidence must be weighed. Decisions of tremendous importance must be made. So as you can see, the very process of church discipline is largely a process of discernment. But when churches overreacted to the abuse of discipline that was all too common in the 18th and 19th centuries, by virtually eliminating church discipline, the broken dike cleared the way for the liberal takeover of the church and allowed the way of the world to flood in. Church discipline erects a barrier between the church and the world. If it is removed, it becomes impossible to distinguish the two. The church was inundated by persons whose profession of faith was at best suspect. These marginal persons brought new concepts, perspectives, and attitudes into the church and directed her into different pathways. The church, to a great extent, began to think and act like the world. As the church became secularized, interest in spiritual discernment waned. Why should distinctions and differences be of significance? The great thing was to make Christianity as much like the world as possible. The church began to seek the world's approval and adopt her ways, rather than standing against them. With church discipline in ruins, the line between the church and the world smashed, and the church's shift of concern towards friendship with the world well established, the biblical concept of antithesis all but vanished. People who study the Bible in depth develop antithetical mindsets. They think in terms of contrasts or opposites. From Genesis to Revelation, God's thoughts and ways are set over and against all others. The Bible does not teach that there are numerous ways to please God, each of which is as good as the next. Nor does it teach that various opinions are more or less God's way. What it teaches, everywhere, is that any thought that is not wholly God's is altogether wrong and must be rejected. According to the Bible, a miss is as good as a mile. There is only one God, and there is only one way of life, His. Adams acknowledges that people don't like to hear such things, even people within the church. Many of them have not known the Bible from childhood, or have even made an intensive study of it later on, so their mindset is unbiblical. Modern mentality, even in the church, too often taught by the church and Christian schools, is a continuum mentality. Truth and values are not absolute, but relative. Such thinking dominates in our culture. Stop and reflect for a moment. What kind of mindset do you have? Do you think in terms of absolutes? Or is life a series of value judgments that vary according to the situation? According to continuum thinking, the mode of thinking taught outside the church, and now largely within, every idea is a shade of gray. There is no right or wrong, no true or false, only shades of right and wrong, or true and false, spread along the continuum. All is relative, most of it is subjective. This is one reason why biblical preaching, with all its sharp antithesis, rubs people the wrong way. It is hard for modern minds to accept. Antithetical thinking is dismissed as fanatical or worse. Consequently, when Christians, all of whom have been affected by this environment, hear antithetical views expressed, they sound jarring because anything goes. Discernment is not placed at a premium. Many are quick to accuse an antithetical thinker of being judgmental. Certainly, neither you nor I want to develop a judgmental spirit. But we must cultivate a discerning spirit. When people quote Matthew 7:1, "Don't judge, for you will be judged," against the proper attempt to distinguish and discern truth from error, they misuse that important passage, which doesn't prevent all judging, but only improper judging, of the kind you would not care to have applied to you, Matthew 7:2. Indeed, Jesus elsewhere commands us to make a right judgment, John 7:24. If the truth cannot be distinguished from the false, right from the wrong, good from the bad, then discernment is not only unattainable, but it is unnecessary, and its pursuit is foolishness. Discernment thrives in an atmosphere of absolutes, among people whose minds have been molded to think antithetically. In the Bible, where antithesis is so important, discernment, the ability to distinguish God's thoughts and God's ways from all others, is essential. In Proverbs 16:21, God says that the wise in heart will be called discerning. There is a narrow way and the wide way, leading either to eternal life or to destruction. But with pastors and people alike growing up in an environment that stresses continuum thinking, antithesis was dulled as more and more people attempted to integrate sociology, psychology, and business management principles with Scripture. The key task, you see, is no longer to distinguish God's way from others, but to find places of agreement to the extent to which it is possible. There is a great difference between the two mentalities. According to one, the task is to find out how one's faith integrates with what he has learned from the world. According to the other, the key task is to determine in what way a Christian may keep himself unspotted from the world, in both thought and life. James 1:27. One of the most helpful ways to keep ourselves unspotted from the world is to learn spiritual discernment. A fantastic element of this book is that Adams not only examines the causes for our lack of discernment, including what he believes to be the root problem, but also defines, with examples, what spiritual discernment is. In addition, he provides a very clear and systematic way to begin applying the spiritual discipline of spiritual discernment to your daily life. Today, the shift against antithetical thinking and toward humanistic thinking has contributed much to the softness of the church and our frightful lack of discernment. Adams writes that it is time we awaken from our slumber to see that a daily diet of humanism certainly won't help us to combat humanism. Your children and mine will be affected by what you and others like you do. Will you do all you can do to become discerning and to encourage your Christian friends and your family to do the same? If you do, the next generation will inherit both a church and a country that is much more aware of and obedient to God's truth, rather than one that is wholly taken over by humanism. Which do you want for your children? But even more than that, God is grieved with the immaturity in Christians who ought to be adult in their understanding. His command to you, if you are among those who need to hear it, is it's time to grow up. A Call for Discernment by J. Adams can be found online and is currently available in paperback. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. And just because a book is recommended doesn't mean that all writings and teachings by an author are recommended. Remember, you, the reader, must always read with discernment. And while no book besides the Bible can be all things to all people, our hope here at the Fireside Bookshelf is to present a variety of Christian resources that seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and which provide insights to help strengthen and deepen your spiritual walk.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of Sharon Hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here. here at the Fireside Bookshelf.